Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation Conference Call announcing its fourth quarter and year-end 2017 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du quatrième trimestre et de l'année financière de 2017. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, September 29th, 2017, at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I will now turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Ducret and Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I will just say a brief word in French to our French auditors. Merci et bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation in which can be found on our website at h2innovation.com in the section investors. Frédéric Ducret, our President and CEO, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. In today's call, Frédéric will go over H2O Innovation's business model and highlight the milestone of our last fiscal year. I will then be discussing our year-end financial results. Before I hand over the call to Frédéric, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 of the presentation. I would now like to hand over the call to Frédéric, President and CEO of H2O Innovation.
Thank you, Mark. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the call today. Our last fiscal year ending June 30th, 2017 was particularly busy, challenging, and transformational for us. Indeed, our vision of adding a third business pillar of operation and maintenance came to reality early in our fiscal year through the acquisition of Utility Partners. Within the first months following its acquisition, we have started to see the benefits and synergies of this strategic diversification. Utility Partners contributed not only to our sustained growth of 63% this year, but also to fuel other cross-selling opportunities to the other business pillar, the projects, and the specialty products. Over the last 5 years, our growth averaged 26% per year, and H2O Innovation continued to intend to grow with determination, both organically and through acquisitions. Now let's look at a few highlights of our last fiscal year. Well, consolidated revenues have reached $82.8 million, an increase of 63%. Now, obviously it was a successful integration of Utility Partner that contributed to their top line, but we had to go through multiple challenges related to the project business. Indeed, we have seen 9 projects being delayed for reasons that are totally out of our control. However, our business model relying on 3 distinct pillars has been proven to be robust, particularly when we had to face this uncontrollable delays related to project schedule. Our recurring revenues continue to remain very strong and clearly an area of focus for us. Today, we're proud to show that 76% of our revenues are recurring in nature. The consolidated backlog combining projects and O&M pillars stands at $109 million at the end of June. This gives us an excellent visibility for the coming quarters and years. Now, probably you have seen the press release announced yesterday, showing now that our backlog for projects stands at $57 million, boosted by the award of a $9.1 million project of ultrafiltration for the city of San Diego. Now, this project is clearly transformational for us, both in terms of reference, but in terms of scope of work as well. This will be our largest ultrafiltration project ever realized. It's a 40 million gallons per day plant. The second largest we have done or under construction as we speak is for the city of Montevina in California also, and it's a 30 million gallons per day. Our O&M backlog stands at 55.1 million, supported by the renewal of all of our projects coming to renewal in last fiscal year. In itself, this is a huge achievement. We have continued to develop and commercialize new technologies, such as the Flex MBR, launched earlier in fiscal year, and the Intellogix, or digital solution platform, allowing us to connect and collect data from our customer. The specialty products also release and launch new products that will continue to fuel the growth of the coming years. We continue to expand our geographical coverage to reach new customers into new geographies as well through our distribution network. H2O continues its growth through its multiple sales channels. Our strategy is to leverage as much as we can our strong brands with the addition of new products. This is clearly what Piedmont, PWT, and our division of Maple Equipment have been doing in the last 12 months by introducing our new filter housing product line designed by our Bilbao's office, by developing and optimizing our coupling design, by creating new PWT eco-friendly specialty cleaners, and by developing and distributing 40 new products related to our Maple Equipment product line. Now also, the acquisition of Utility Partner contributed to expand our reach in the U.S. by adding 44 plants under O&M contracts in seven different states. In total, it is 550 colleagues that strive every day to provide best-in-class customer service and state-of-the-art products. Our focus is simple: maximize customers' retention by leveraging the expertise we have in the three business pillars. This is what the numbers are also starting to show, with 76% of recurring sales last year. We also believe that our new digital solution initiative will also contribute to an enhanced customer journey, ease its day-to-day business decision related to water management, and maximize retention. Our business model is unique. We have to take advantage of it. This is what we're currently doing. This diversification has not been improvised. It has been strategically and systematically implemented over the years. If you look back on this chart, you will see that we started to implement and grow the second business pillar, the specialty products and services, back in 2009. Now we have established the foundation of our third business pillar in 2017 through the acquisition of Utility Partner. Our business is well balanced and allow us to gain predictability, establish long-term relationship with customer, and reduce the dependency that we have on projects. Now, the project business pillar will remain a growth vector for us. It is the flagship of the company, and it is fueling many other opportunities. However, last year was particularly challenging on the project side. If we look at what really caused this challenge related to projects, we need to understand the different procurement models that exist in that business. Essentially, there is two types of procurement when it comes to projects. You can do either a pre-purchase, or you can get the contract awarded through a general contractor. These two types of procurement model also happens at different periods in the course of a project. The pre-purchase usually happens pretty earlier in the life of a project compared to the general contractor that gives you the award when the project reached the construction phase earlier in the life of the project. Last year, out of 44 projects, 36% of them were pre-purchased and 64% were awarded through GC. However, if you consider the projects above $2 million, we had 12 projects out of 44 above $2 million, and 70% of these 12 were pre-purchased and 25 were awarded through GC. This is exactly what happened. These nine projects have been delayed for, again, reasons that were out of our control. Unfortunately, not allowing us to recognize the expected revenue that we have because these projects were earlier in the project execution. However, even though we have seen these projects being delayed, now we believe that these projects are reaching for next fiscal year a new phase of execution, and again, they're not being canceled but just postponed in time. Let's look more in detail in the project business pillar itself. This year, we recorded $20 million in revenues from projects, down from 23. Again, it's 9 projects that were delayed for reasons that are out of our control, however, representing a total of $21 million in projects, so quite significant in terms of potential impact. As I said, none of them have been canceled. They're just pushed in time. The good news is that we have been striving and pushing really hard to grow the backlog. Sustained growth of 39% has pushed the backlog to $54 million at the end of fiscal year. What is also very impressive is how we have been able to grow significantly the wastewater and diversify our application. It is $13 million of bookings that we have been able to secure in this fiscal year, compared to $700,000 in previous fiscal year related to wastewater. Now, as of today, after the announcement of this new award coming from the City of San Diego, the backlog of projects stands at almost $57 million. The pipeline remains very rich in terms of opportunity and well-diversified also through the addition of new wastewater projects and momentum that we're currently gaining. And we're also well positioned for design, build, operate opportunities coming from the O&M group. Now, this year, we want to add a little bit more focus towards new industrial opportunities. We want to balance the portfolio of products between municipal and industrial, so we're looking for additional industrial opportunities. For the next fiscal year, for 2018, after what happened with projects, we revised the different assumptions that we were using, and we have used a very conservative approach to build up our budget and forecast for this coming year. The diversification of our project business is very promising for us. Indeed, after the launch of our open source U.S. platform, the FiberFlex, we have been able to grow the U.S. segment. But even more interesting now, after the launch of the Flex MBR in our last fiscal year, the Flex MBR dedicated for wastewater, we have been able to significantly diversify our backlog with the wastewater projects. So now the wastewater backlog represents 15% of the projects within the entire backlog, which is quite significant compared to what it was in previous year. But why do we want to do more wastewater? Well, essentially there's two reasons. First, the market is 3 times bigger than drinking water in terms of opportunities. Second, well, the margins are usually also slightly better than what we're having in the drinking water. So this is why we spend a lot of effort and energy, and our team has been very perseverant to achieve this. Now let's look at the second business pillar. The specialty products and services remain very strong for 2017. As we saw our business growing at 6.4% and reaching $29.5 million. The sales of maple equipment product has reached a new record high, boosted by continuous innovation and territory expansion. We added many new distributors, and again, as I said earlier, it's a total of 40 different products that have been added to the portfolio. We have continued to add investment into operating and selling to fuel future growth, so adding more salespeople and operating people to support this growth. Also, we spend a lot of time to maximize customer retention and create synergies with the project, because we want to make sure that we keep these customers as after-sales market, but also maximize the synergies coming from the O&M group, the operation and maintenance, by capturing these different synergies. We have continued the development of our proprietary digital solutions, the ClearLogix and IntelLogix. As I said earlier, we believe that this technology is allowing us to differentiate ourselves, but also to increase the level of retention of our customer. We have developed new products, the filter housing in FRP. We have developed and improved new couplings and designed new chemicals as well. The growth of our SDNS group is steady and sustained, averaging 30% per year over the last 5 years. And again, this is not by chance, but by design that we have been able to achieve this through a combination of, yes, acquisition, but also organic growth and innovation. Finally, our last and new business pillar, the operation and maintenance. As I explained in the presentation earlier today, the acquisition of Utility Partner was transformational for us. It is a total of $33 million that we added to our top line. This counts for only 11 months following the acquisition realized at the end of July last year. It is a total of 44 different municipal water and wastewater plants that we currently operate every day in 7 different states. Our current backlog of operation and maintenance stands at $55 million at the end of June 30th. And it is 100% of the contract that we're coming up for renewal that we have been able to secure for additional terms of 5 years or 3 years. There's a total of 2 new projects and 3 that we lately announced in the first quarter that we have been able to add. But what is also extremely important is how we have been able, within the first 11 months, to capture $1.2 million of cross-selling opportunities, being chemicals, being filter housing, being replacement of pumps and membranes, and also new projects coming. At the end of September, or mid-September, the backlog stand at $53 million, giving us an excellent visibility in the coming quarters and coming years. In short term, we're currently envisioned to obviously grow the O&M business, both in the U.S. and Canada. Also look to expand the scope of work in the existing projects that we have. So we have currently implemented an incentive for all the project manager to grow and look for additional scope of work to expand their business. And we are also maximizing the cross-selling opportunities, as I said earlier, to create more value for the customers. If you look at the current map that we have for Utility Partners, out of the 44 projects we have, it's a total of 3 new projects that we added this year. It is 5 new projects that have been touched by cross-selling opportunities, and it's a total of 15 projects that we have been able to renew altogether. I will now let Mark, our CFO, go through the numbers and provide you additional financial information.
Thank you, Frederick, for this update on the milestone achieved over the last few months. Now let's go over the financial results of H2 Innovation's financial year ended June 30th, 2017. Before I go over the result, I want to remind you that for accounting purposes and following audit review, the accounting of Utility Partners' results were for a period of 11 months instead of 12. This change has been made just last minute. Actually, this is the reason why we had to postpone for 24 hours this today's conference call. We had discussion with our auditors and their quality control, unfortunately, had us make that change at the last minute. So we're sorry about that. So highlight on the financial statement. We finished our fiscal year 2017 with a record high revenue of $83 million. This is an increase of 63% compared to last year. As explained when we presented the previous quarters, fiscal year 2017 was impacted by slow revenue coming from projects. We started the year with an important backlog and expected project revenue to pick up during the second half of the year. Unfortunately, it was postponed to fourth quarter. This last quarter, revenue from project reached $7.2 million. This is 36% of the project revenue that were recorded in just one quarter. It's a significant acceleration compared to previous quarter. We expect this level of revenue coming from project to be maintained for the next fiscal year. Revenue for specialty products and services increased by 6% compared to last year. This increase is the result of investment made in the sales effort and in development and acquisition of new proprietary technologies. We expect to maintain such growth for the next year. Revenue from operation and maintenance have been pretty stable quarter over quarter. which averaged in 2017 8 to 9 million per quarter. On the fourth quarter, revenue reached 9.6 million. This increase compared to previous quarter is coming from new contract and scope expansion secured during the previous quarter. Operation and maintenance contract are pretty stable. Therefore, this level of revenue is what we should expect on a quarterly basis for the next fiscal 2018. SG&As are at 22% over revenue for fiscal 2017, down from 24.8% for last year. The ratio of SG&A over revenue has decreased with the acquisition of utility partners, and we would like to continue to see it decrease and be below the 20% mark for next fiscal year. Adjusted EBITDA. This year, the EBITDA was at 2.2% over revenue compared to 5.7% last year. In fiscal 2017, EBITDA was impacted by the decrease of revenue from project. As explained earlier by Frederick, project revenue decreased and some of our project execution has been postponed. This lower volume coming from project impacted the general gross margin since some of our variable costs became fixed costs. Also, the fourth quarter was impacted by four extraordinary events that we counted in the EBITDA that totaled $700,000. The first one is the termination of the lease of a water treatment equipment. This equipment was leased for the last 2 years to an industrial client, and the lease terminated at the end of the third quarter. The second event is a challenging commissioning on a specific project, which required extra expenses to finalize the project in order to meet our client requirements. The third one is that we did a proactive recall campaign on a maple equipment product. And the fourth one is a change in the accounting recognition of variable remuneration. That change was made this year to be consistent with the timing of execution of the objective that triggered this variable remuneration. If you look in our proxy circular of previous years, we explained that variable remuneration related to departmental and personal objective was accounted for in the year following the achievement of the criteria. This accounting method was based on the fact that benefits resulting from the achievement of departmental or personal criteria generate value in the next year. As of fiscal 2017, variable remuneration related to these objectives is accounted during the fiscal year in which the objectives are achieved. This change will also be reflected in the proxy circular of this year. financial position. On June 30, 2017, the working capital ratio was at 1.55 compared to 1.42 a year before. This is due to an increase by 3 million of our receivable to 13.2. impacted by the acquisition of utility partners and the increase of revenue coming from specialty products and services activities. Inventory increased by $500,000 to 4.9 to support the growth of specialty products and services, business pillar, and the WIP, the work in progress, increased by 1.7 million compared to last fiscal year. This amount, for those that are less familiar with that, this amount is the difference between cost incurred in excess of billing and the billing in excess of cost incurred. This is coming from the increase of revenue coming from our project. Slide 20, as for the net debt, it increased by 6.3 million. It now stands at 12.6 million. It is essentially debt subscribed for the acquisition of utility partners. In that graph, at slide 20, we can see that during fiscal year 2017, we reimbursed $1.8 million of the long-term debt, and we can also see an improvement in our cash situation. Worth to mention that the cost of our debt is averaging 5%. As for cash flow generated by operations, we generated 1.8 million compared to 2.6 last year. Cash flow has been impacted by the timing difference within project production phase and invoicing milestone. During the execution of a project, we have to expenses related to purchase of equipment and manufacturing of the project. These expenses don't necessarily match with the invoicing milestone and payment terms. In the fourth quarter, project activities picked up, which pulled on our cash flow. Also, something new. I mean, on the capex, we invested 1.4 million, and what I want to highlight here is on project contract related to operation and maintenance. At the beginning of a contract, we have to purchase trucks and tools. So there's $200,000 worth of that this year that were invested into equipment for operation and maintenance contract. These equipment are amortized over the life of the contract. And finally, it's worth to mention that this year, utility partners had a positive impact on our working capital. It generates steady cash on a monthly basis, and it's always great. So this concludes my remarks on the financing section. I'll now hand over the call to Frederick for conclusion remarks.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Essentially, what our business model is proposing is simple. Retain customer. This will materialize through the combination of our expertise that we have in each of the three pillars and integrating our offering to create value for customer. Now, what we have shown this year in terms of growth is, yes, through the successful integration of utility partner, but also through the different sustained growth that we had in other pillars. Through the successful integration, we have shown also that we are an experienced and disciplined acquirer. The combination of our backlog of $109 million of both projects and O&M is giving us excellent visibility for the coming quarters and years. We can now rely on 76% of our revenues as being recurrent by nature, which is also very transformational and contribute to increased predictability into our business model. The project business itself is starting this at the end of this quarter with a very strong backlog of almost $57 million, boosted by this new project coming from the City of San Diego. But also what we're extremely proud of is to see how we're able to grow the momentum that we have now in wastewater, allowing us to diversify ourselves, also bring additional upside in the gross margin of the project group. The specialty products and services is continuing to expand its sales network by adding new distributors and agents, is pushing for product development of new products, and has been averaging a growth of 30% over the last year. The O&M business pillar has a backlog of $53 million at the mid-September, again giving us an excellent visibility in the coming years. And also, we have been able to demonstrate cross-selling opportunities, creating value for a customer within the first year of its acquisition. Now, I want to give you a little bit of our expectation and outlook for 2018. Now, as Mark explained, we had to go through this right-sizing of the project group following this important delay on these nine projects. We are expecting that the right-sizing and the benefit of the right-sizing will hit the P&L starting the first quarter of this new fiscal year. Also, which is also very positive, what we anticipated in terms of growth on the project side is starting to happen. So we're starting to see a pickup as anticipated into the project volume. The specialty products and service business pillars should remain and will remain steady in terms of organic growth, boosted by new distributors that we're adding and boosted by new products that we're going to launch in the course of the year. The impact of utility partner will be accounted on a full year basis. So as Mark explained, as you look at the current financial, it is only 11 months of revenues that are recorded. So next year we are expecting a full year. We are also expecting and anticipating other cross-selling opportunities emerging from the O&M group. And we are forecasting as well the benefit and full contribution of new O&M contracts that we signed lately and additional scope expansion on existing projects. So as a whole, we feel very confident in our business model, but also the assumptions we have used to build our budget and forecast in 2018. I want to thank you for your trust. I want to thank our 550 collaborators who contribute every day to create value for our customers and shareholders. Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Si vous voulez poser une question, composez l'étoile suivie du numéro 1 sur votre clavier téléphonique. Your first question comes from the line of Pardeep Sangha from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Pardeep.
Hey, you mentioned that the projects are, you're starting to see the project growth starting to happen. Now, just tying that into the 9 project delays, so is that to say like a couple of those projects are now started and like are there like 7 delays and 2 are started, or kind of give me an update sort of where that's at, or is it other projects, that not the 9 delayed, but other projects that are causing the growth in the next quarter or so?
Well, out of the 9 projects, there's 3 that are starting to pick up again. The other ones have been in this current quarter, so the other ones are still pushing time. But the other ones that were in the pipeline or scheduled are currently starting to happen. So, I mean, it's a combination of 2 things. We were expecting to see growth happening from what we had originally scheduled, which is good. And on top of that, we're starting to recuperate and accelerate what was initially postponed.
Okay. And then on the San Diego one, can you give us some sort of idea with regards to timelines with this large contract that you just signed announced?
Yeah. So this will be actually according to schedule. And again, it's a pre-purchase. So as I explained earlier, it's kind of early in the phase of the life of the project. So it's a pre-purchase from San Diego. And they're expecting to have water. I mean, the city is expecting to have water by the end of 2021. So it's a long delay. So, and for us, actually, there's no anticipated, you know, or budgeted revenues from this in the current fiscal year. So in the next one,
so by 2019 is when we'll start seeing some initial revenue from San Diego. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, usually the way it starts is that there is, you know, always a, let's say, a 10% kind of value related to initial engineering, submittals that you do early on. This first engineering phase is allowing the city to conduct is tendering process or RFQ for the general contractor and come up with final design for the plant. Then they get the contract awarded to GC, and then you start to ramp up, you know, the project as a whole. So.
Right. Okay, and then continuing on here, on the gross margin side, I mean, we're seeing quite a bit of up and down on the gross margin side percentages. I mean, I think a couple quarters ago, you were like 24%. How do we look at this from quarter to quarter and, it, you know, in terms of modeling the gross margin side of things?
It should be, I mean, it has varied, except, well, that last quarter was impacted by those four events that I told you about when I discussed about that about the EBITDA. Most of it impacted the gross margin, but on the gross margin averaging in modeling, we should see it between 22 to 24. It depends on the business mix. Obviously, second and third quarter are generally stronger in terms of SPNS. So it's the Maple division and PWT that are kicking in. They have a stronger gross margin, so it boosts the margin up. And then when the business mix is leaning more towards project and operation and maintenance, then it'll be a bit lower. So 22-24 gross margin and percentage, that's where we should see it.
Okay. And then EBITDA margins and EBITDA in general, I mean, you know, I understand, you know, the past year you guys did the acquisition, you know, the acquisition has lower margins, and so that's kind of impacted your EBITDA and your cash flows, really. But I guess going forward, you know, you're not having these one-time acquisition costs, you're not having, you know, you're starting to see the cross-selling opportunities, so we should see EBITDA margin improvement, cash flow improvement in 2018. Is that fair to say, in some sense of where should we see this, how much improvement should we see here, anything like that you can help us with?
Yes, so indeed we should see improvements. We talked about it internally. We don't want to give any guidance on EBITDA percentage, but definitely this should increase, as you said, cash flow and EBITDA. Maybe not yet to the level we used to see it two, three years ago, but definitely somewhere in between this year and those years.
Yeah, okay. So
you have to understand that we continue to invest in growth, especially on the operation and maintenance. We've decided this year to make some investment to hire a sales resource and deploy sales effort in order to uh, to generate some growth for operation and maintenance. So some of our focus will be put there, and same for the SPNS business lines. We will continue efforts in developing new products and new sales channel.
Okay, all right. So I think a couple of years back you were above 6% EBITDA margin. So I guess what I'm hearing is 2018 expect improvement, but not quite at that level yet. And maybe in 2019, you hopefully can get that at that level.
I'm comfortable with that statement. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Leung from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. A couple things. Turning to the O&M side of the business for a second, I noticed there was a nice little sequential lift in revenues. Q4, I think it was about $9.6 million. Q3 was about 8.7. Can you talk about what drove that sequential lift and whether, you know, I think most of the revenues here are pretty much recurring in nature, so should we expect that 9.6 to persist throughout the course of fiscal 18?
Well, I'll take two, maybe I'll start the answer and Mark will complete. First, from the past, yes, we're started to see the fourth quarter some benefits of new contracts. So as I said, there's two projects we've signed in the course of the year, one in New Mexico, one in the Northeast states. And then we added in the first quarter this year, another one in Georgia. So these projects that we have signed, a few new projects, have started to ramp up and create a little bit of revenues. Also, we started to see a little bit more expansion. So as I said, in the course of the year, we have implemented financial incentives to our different projects manager. Each of them are currently sitting in front of our customers. They are in the field. They are exposed to many opportunities, so they can push for additional scope of work. They can push for new opportunities, and this started to materialize in the course of last year. So this is why we started to see a little bit of an increase on the revenue side. And Mark, in terms of moving forward?
Well, you know, generally those contracts, once they're signed, they recognize revenue for the duration of the contracts. Those contracts used to be between 3 to 5 years, and now I think all of our contracts are 5 years. Some of them have a shorter life because they've been signed a few years ago, so they will be in renewal phase this year. So we're focusing a lot on those renewals for this year. But historically, we've renewed 100% of our contracts. So if we maintain that, we should maintain the revenue and then add some increase of revenue coming from those new scope of work and new contracts that we'll be signing in.
Gotcha.
Question?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. It sounds like I just want to make sure there wasn't any sort of one-time revenue gain in the quarter from that division. Doesn't sound like that was the case. That's good. And then moving over to project, I know you don't provide specific guidance, but just based on, you know, where you ended the year off in terms of the project backlog and where you're at right now and factor in the big $9 million contract, it looks like you'll be able to show some year-over-year growth in the project division. Does that sort of make sense based on the numbers you've provided publicly?
Absolutely.
Okay, gotcha. And then just on the cost side of the equation, Mark, you pointed out to about $700,000 in sort of one-time costs in Q4 that impacted your gross profit and your EBITDA. Can you do the breakdown between the two? It looks like there might have been about $400,000 of costs on the cost of goods side, and then the rest of $300,000 was SG&A.
Maybe more on that on the COGS side. As for the variable remuneration, part of it goes to the COGS and some of it goes to, because it's to the whole management. So we've got 17 managers that are impacted by that. So some of them are directly into COGS. So maybe in terms of percentage,
So 60-40, I would say 40% in the SG&As and 60% into the COGS.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify because I saw in your MD&A there was, you called out there was about $300,000 of severance costs in your SG&A.
So, yes, that's true. And I forgot to talk about that. So into the severance payment there, that's something that was pulled out of the SG&A. You can see that on that slide. I forgot to address that when I commented that. So at the beginning of the fourth quarter, we right-sized the project business pillar. That project business pillar, due to the fact that it was slower, we looked how we could right-size it and gain efficiency. So we terminated some employees there, and it impacted indeed the SG&A by the amount of the severance that was paid, which the amount is $350,000. And this should generate savings of about $1 million in the next year. Some of it are going into the SG&A, some of it will go into the COGS.
Okay. So just to be clear, that $300,000 in severance costs, was that part of the $700,000 of one-time costs you talked about, or is that in addition to that?
No, that's in addition. So the severance was really excluded into the EBITDA. I believe it's a fair representation of EBITDA calculation. As for those other one-off, those are things that happen in the course of business, and that impacted the EBITDA.
Right. So, but basically, it looks like there was $1 million worth of charges that were, you can argue, were non-operational, I guess.
Sorry, can you repeat your
question? I was just saying, so it sounds like there was about $1 million of unexpected charges or non-operational charges, the 700 plus the 300, right?
Yes, but you know, for example, recall on project
is operational.
It's operational,
yeah.
For me. You know, challenge commissioning. I mean, this one was pretty extraordinary compared to what we used to. But those are things that we believe are operational, and that this is why we reflected into the EBITDA.
Okay, no, that's fair. Okay, and just to clarify two more things, just on the financials. Mark, was there a restatement on Q1 revenues? I noticed that the revenue number looked a little lower than what you reported, I guess, back in when you reported the September quarter.
Bringing it up, I mean, there's been, and this is the reason why we had to postpone that call for 24 hours. So earlier this week, our auditors at their QA level, so quality control level, brought up the acquisition date, so they were in a disagreement with the team that we've consulted all year long regarding the effectiveness of the transaction for accounting purposes. So their QA asked us to change effective date for accounting purposes as of July 26th, so we redid the financial statements to remove that month. In terms of restatement, we've talked to our attorneys and especially our auditors, Lloyd's experts in securities. They told us that these things happen and security commission won't necessarily ask for a restatement. We will be restating those results as we pull them out. So in 6 weeks already, we will release the first quarter results. So and once we will do that, we'll do that modification then. So we won't do a proactive restatement. We'll see with Security Commission, with IMF, Securities Commissions or Legislator if they call us. But we believe we'll be proactive in by filing as quarters are coming up.
Gotcha.
And just providing a footnote will be sufficient.
Okay, gotcha. Maybe one last thing. As I look into fiscal 18, just from a, I guess from a cost perspective, you know, I think Q4 your SG&A was about $5.5 million, including the severance. You know, how do you think guys think budgeting or thinking about SG&A in fiscal 18? I mean, are there priorities around new sales hirings, increasing you know your capacity? How should we think about directionally or quantitatively how the SG&A grows in the coming fiscal year?
In terms of, as I said, you know, we we structured the business model to have SG&As that are around 20% or below.
Yeah,
so ideally, no, but depending on the volume, but no, as I said, we expect SG&A to be in the area of 20% of our revenues. So we did some savings with the project right sizing business there, but on the other end we did some hirings on the operation and maintenance side of business pillars. So we are reinvesting into growth and sales efforts for growing operation and maintenance. On the other end, in terms of project, we've right sized and trying to be more selective in our project and the approach to market. So, but 20% is maybe a thumb rule.
Gotcha. Maybe one last question. Meant to ask earlier, but on the new contract win, and the $9 million contract win, can you talk about who did you come up against, or if you can talk about it at all, who you managed to edge out in that RFP, and based on our discussions with the customer, what were the key factors which drove your win versus some of the other competitors? That's it for me. Thanks.
Well, two things. First, yes, we were competing against essentially one large company. I won't mention the name, but it's quite a large player into the water industry, an American-based company. And this was conducted over a number of years, because initially there was a real scale or large scale of 1 million gallons per day plant being built. One train was by us, the other train was by the competitor. So both of us had to go through this feasibility and demonstration. It was followed also by another pilot that was conducted over almost a year, where we had to confirm performance. We had to come up with specific details and parameters. These parameters have been then used to build and develop our proposal that was used and considered at final bid. There was price related to this bid, but also other criteria related to footprint, energy consumption, membrane performance, life cycle analysis, and different criteria. So really we had to put forward and combine our expertise that we have internally with our engineering team to come up with best design to optimize all this for the customer. So it wasn't only win on price.
No,
that's great. Thank you for the feedback, and congrats.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to the presenters.
That's it. Well, thank you very much again for joining the call today. Again, we feel confident in this new fiscal year that we started, both in terms of sales, in terms of performance. It is exciting to see how the business is shaping up through the different three business pillars we have and how much synergies and values we are creating for our customers. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.